Okay, ich höre es nicht an.
Yeah, let's realize that even though Birchas HaShachar doesn't have a truly fixed time like we've been dealing with up until now, such as Talis and Tefillin, the concept of Misheyakir, or Zman Kriyashma in the morning, which we will yet have, nonetheless, Birchas HaShachar does have some kind of Zman element. There are certain time elements. Bichlal, we ought to spend a tiny bit of time before we get into it, just to poke here and there into some of the background material of Brachos, even though it may not instantaneously impact on Zman. But I think it is... there are some statements over here that are urgent for our attention before we actually get to the Zman issue. So in Mem Vov, Hilchos Birchos HaShachar, remember there are essentially three components to the Birchos HaShachar. The most readily identifiable is what we call Birchos HaTorah. It's one component. It happens to be the third in terms of the chronological order of the way the Siddur is printed. The first component would be Netilas Yadayim and Asher Yatzar. We've got to see there if there is any time element as far as that is concerned. And then the middle component is what we commonly call Birchas HaShachar, that potpourri of brachos that are all put together, and then all the way down the line. So there is a different Zman element that could apply to each one of these three components. It isn't unique. Furthermore, once we're talking about brachos, we can then open up the whole issue of Zman vis-a-vis bracha, any bracha. For instance, the concept of mevarech, when you do make a bracha, is over la'asiyasan, you must pass immediately into the action for which you are saying the bracha. That too has a Zman concept. Does it constitute a hefsek? Is there some interruption if time passes? How much time is there? Automatically, time must therefore be related to distance or space. We wash in the kitchen for Netilas Yadayim, let's say, and we come over here. What do you do in a gigantic shul or in a wedding hall where you may wash in one area and it'll take you 3 minutes to get to the Hamotzi? Is that time a hefsek, or is it distance that's a hefsek? So these are some of the things that we may want to touch on, but let's begin with Birchas HaShachar. The very first word in the Simon, Memvav, is Kishayar, when you wake up, and that's a point in time. It's an imprecise point in time. Kishayar Mishnato, when you wake up from your sleep, is Yomar, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Then you're supposed to start saying, Elokai Nishama, Shenasata Bi Tahorohi Atov Rasa Toyitzarto. Then, as time progresses and your awareness of the fact that you are awake continues, Kishe Yishma Kol HaTarnagol, when you hear the rooster calling, then Yivarech HaNosein LaSech Livinol HaFchim Ben Yom HaVein Laila. Go ahead and say that bracha of Birchas HaShachar. You have to get dressed, so you progress to another bracha. Kishe Lovesh is Yivarech Malbish HaRumim. When you get dressed, you say Malbish HaRumim. Kishaniyaniach yadav al einav, when you go ahead to rub your eyes or clear your eyes and wash off any crust that may have occurred, is yivarech pokeach ivrim. Kishayeshev, when you finally get up from bed and sit, is yivarech matir asurim. Kishazokev, when you're standing erect, is yivarech zokev kifufim. Kishayaniach raglav ba'aretz, when he starts to walk, then Yivarech Vayka Haaretz Al Hamoyim. And the halacha continues, Kishinoel min alav, when you finally put on your shoes, is Yivarech She'osali Kol Tzorki. Well, here Kishaholeh, when you start to walk around, away from your immediate surroundings, of the bed where you arose, is Yivarech HaMechin Mitzadei Gover. You steady the path of a person who walks. Kishecholger Chagoro, when you go ahead and put on your girdle, your belt, and the belt is singled out because you remember that in ancient times, it served two purposes. The first essential purpose was that you simply slipped on a rectangular article of clothing, and the only way that it stayed on you when you wrapped your body was by tying something around your mid-waist. So kishechoger chagoro is yivarech ozer Yisrael b'gevura, that you gird b'nei Yisrael with gevura. Now, furthermore, says the Ramah, O lovesh ha'avnei tamapsik beino levein bein libo la'erva. If you go ahead and you put on a shirt which covers half of your body, or at least covers you to the extent that you're no longer naked. So this is the same thing as the belt. This is the same item, or the same reason that you would have put on your belt, and therefore the bracha is the same, Ozer Yisrael b'gevura, that you gird B'nai Yisrael with gevura. Gevura here would have to be understood deeply as to what gevura has to do with putting your belt on. Now, the second purpose, as I say, is obviously the belt always symbolized in the male dress, in ancient male dress, that on that belt there would hang some kind of klezayim, some kind of weaponry to protect oneself. Mm-hmm. And that's how you would put your belt on. It would be your munitions belt. Kishameisim kova, when you put a hat, o mitznefes, or a hood, birosho, is yivarecho, ter Yisrael b'sifara. Curiously enough, kishi yitol yadav, when you go ahead and say netilas yadayim, is yivarech al netilas yadayim. Furthermore, kishi yirchatz ponov, when you wash your face further, is yivarech ha-ma'avir sheino me'enai. And then continues there, v'hi ratzon ad baruch ato Hashem gomel chasadim tovim le'amo Yisrael. Alright? And the Shulchan Aruch continues, and just please be careful the way that bracha, ha-ma'avir sheino me'enai, and Yehi Ratzon Shetargileinu Besorasecha right after are printed, because Ein La'anos Amein Achar Hamavir Sheina Me'enai, it's one bracha that continues with Yehi Ratzon Ad Sheyachtom HaGomel Chasadim Tovim Le'amo Yisrael Shehakol Baracha Achasi. It's all one bracha. You say to me, why does the printer print it separately? And probably there isn't a sitter around that prints it as one total bracha. You have a question, you see. There's a very good question. It was an indicator. And the indicator is that there are times when you don't say the bracha ha-ma'avir sheino me'enai, yisnumo mi'af ha-poi. Whereas you would start the bracha from v'yehi ratzon. You know when? You stay up all night. You don't say ha-ma'avir sheino me'enai. So printer, put a note over there or do something. No, you print it as two separate brachas. And this happens very commonly also. If we could just take a look at a sitter, another art scroll has not followed suit and has created it as one bracha.
Mm-hmm. Which Gomel Chasadim
Tovim. Yeah, up until Gomel Chasadim Tovim with Yehi Ratzon. All is one bracha. It's fine.
And he also has a note about it.
No, good. No, Baruch Hashem.
Well, doesn't the Gemara discuss the opening of a bracha and the closing of a bracha? And
yeah, 100%. But
that's not the case here.
There is a question. How come there's no opening to the bracha if you remove the Hamavir?
There, you may not need it. Simply, as Tosfos says, that although every bracha should start with Baruch Ata Hashem,
right,
the exception to that rule, or among the exceptions to that rule, is Birchas Shevach V'Hodo'ah, Simple brachos that just give praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such brachos may start without Baruch Atah Hashem. The issue that I want to raise for the record is the tyranny of the printer. If you would take a look, please, elsewhere, further on, where very strange things happen. If, again, in Art Scroll on page 76, there is no very compelling reason that the paragraph starting V'choros Imol HaBris should be a separate paragraph. The reason that there isn't a compelling reason is because V'choros is in the middle of a pasuk. Mm-hmm. And the word before it is still in the middle of a pasuk. Sure, there is certainly a cause for people who printed Siddurim from time immemorial making V'choros as a separate paragraph. Because there was a minhag propagated especially in Ashkenaz, that when it came to a bris, the Moel and the Sandik would get up and engage in a dialogue of saying the psukim, beginning with V'choros Imo HaBris. When there was a bris in Shul, well, like you've seen very often, we say it posuk by posuk. As a result, printers went ahead and decided to break the posuk right over there and create a new paragraph simply to allow the tzibur a visual point at which they'd be able to know that when there's a bris, this is where you start from. There should have been better ways, and even here Art Scroll will concede. Sorry. He concedes somewhat by putting a hyphen right after Lefanecha and a hyphen joining it right before the Choros, that if you know this inyan, then already you'll know that I'm only conceding somewhat. Yeah.
My Chumash, which has Shabbos davening in the back,
yes,
doesn't have the break. It has it in one paragraph.
Very good. But you never will paskin anything from the Chumash in the back. You know why? Although you have the Koran.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Koran is a revolution unto itself. It has taken all of the scholarship that we have and has impacted that scholarship upon the typography. But the one thing that you don't do ever, the one thing you don't do, is paskin halachas according to the typography or typographical layout of a siddur. I'll give you, look for it in another sitter. You cannot see this in Oslo, you cannot see it in Birnbaum. But in any and every other sitter you can. By that I mean Siddurim that were printed up until the United States of America. Europe.
See what?
Europe, watch. Five halalukas, correct? There are five paragraphs of halaluka.
Yeah.
After Asher. There are two that are more important than the other three, in the sense that if you are late,
you say them, you don't say the
others. You say you skip, you say those if you have time, and you don't say the others.
And you also normally print it in larger type.
You think so?
No, they're not.
You think so? Now go look at old Siddurim. Which one were the two more important ones? Number three and number five. Those were the two more important ones. I guarantee you that you could not find Siddurim where both 3 and 5 are highlighted by a larger type as opposed to 1, 2, and 4. Mm-hmm. Very often what they did was, look at the Shul Siddur, the Chazan Siddur, see what
be,
they did there.
It would be 1, 2, and 3 maybe, or 1
and
2.
1 and 2, 1 and 1 and 4,
oh, well,
1
yeah.
and 2 and some.
Yeah.
Take a look at it, you see. Now though we've gone far afield over here, it is surely one of those absurdities of Jewish life that we, Baruch Hashem, clearly since the advent of the State of Israel and the art of printing over there, and surely in America also, with Birnbaum. He was the first. They criticized him heavily. Don't do such a thing. Baruch Shomer has to be in larger type. You know why? For the kids to learn. Ashrei has to be in larger type for the kids to learn. I'll accede that that is correct. But if you're already doing that, why are you not doing MS V'yatziv in larger type as opposed to the rest? Because that is a more important bracha, smichas geula litfila, than the other brachas, if you have to cut out, or if a woman doesn't have time to daven fully. Why are you putting certain brachas in the Shemana Esrei in larger type as opposed to others in smaller type? When you can't, I mean, it's absurd. The Shemana Esrei is equally as important. But let's get back to our topic. Okay. Now, halacha aleph is clearly a halacha that we do not practice.
Right.
Therefore, we come with halacha beis back in the Shulchan Aruch. Is achshav says the Shulchan Aruch achshav mitnei she'ein hayadayim nikiyos. Right now, because al pi halacha, when we wake up in the morning, our hands are not clean in the sense that we are capable of saying brachos. The gam mipnei amei ha'aratzos, or amei ha'aretz ha'aratzos. Okay. Also because of simple ignorance, she'enam yodimosam, and people don't know the order of saying the brachos as you do whatever has to be done. You know, action per action is nagu. Therefore, the minog arose l'sadrom beveis hakneses, to take all the brachos and arrange them in its proper order in Beis HaKnesses. The onimo amein achareihem, when the chazan says the brachos, the amei ha'aretz will go ahead and answer amein. By answering amein to the brachos, yotzi'im yedei chavosam.
What's the first thing about hayadayim nekiyot?
Hayadayim nekiyot means that you cannot say any brachos, any of these brachos, until you've washed what is commonly called nekel vasim.
So what's the
this is not known.
500 years ago?
People used to keep a tub of water by their beds. The first thing when they got up, they could wash their hands immediately. First thing they did, they had to wash nekel vasim. There's a pan by the bed with a cup.
Well, we could do that if we wanted to.
Yeah, but he tells you that you have two problems. Number one, you don't know the correct order of the bracha. The amei ha'aretz were not educated to the fact that this bracha belongs to this action, you see. And it needs an a priori knowledge or a very firm knowledge of the Gemara that discusses this to tell you which bracha goes where. All right? And there are some other brachas that aren't related to any kind of action of getting up, such as the famous three brachas, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Ovid, Shelo Asani Isha. All of these things put together leads the Shulchan Aruch to tell us that because there were so many problems in getting the brachas straight, that they simply said, let's postpone all of the brachas until we get to shul, let someone who knows the brachas well, in other words, the chazan, say whatever has to be said, you answer amen, and you have that.
So now you have effectively removed the bracha from the action.
That's correct. Because, and here let's go back.
Worse than that, you have the bracha after the action.
Yeah, okay. So we have to, we need some kind of rationale that is going to allow us to create such a plastic situation, artificial situation over here, when the action is so expressive of what goes on. There has to be a good reason. And the Gemara, obviously, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. You really have to understand what's going on. We have to do it in two segments. Go back to Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, Kishiye Or. Yeah. All right? Mishnah Berurah sets down the following foundation for us. It's not original to him. He's quoting his sources. Kol ha-brachos ha'elu, all the brachos ha-shachar, hu mishum de'asur lo l'adam le'hanos min ha'olam hazeh b'li bracha. There is no way in the world that anything goes on in this world without your acknowledging it prior to it with a bracha. V'chol ha-nehenem min ha'olam hazeh b'li bracha. And anyone who does go ahead and function in this world, having some kind of hano'ah in this world, b'li bracha is ki'ilu ma'al. It's as if he goes ahead and has taken a swipe at the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi'ilah, this is the concept of Mi'ilah, that we acknowledge that this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. We'll soon see the Pasuk in the second line. And we have absolutely no allowance, no permission to go ahead and use of it to benefit of this world unless there is first that granted permission. I will show you something in a moment. Second line, Deramu kira'e ahadode, because we go ahead and we compare two psukim. The first pasuk says in Tehillim, Lashem ha'aretz u'meloa. Okay? The first pasuk is clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master, owner of ha'aretz and meloa, from the word malay, everything that's in it, the fullness of it. U'kisiv, and the same Tehillim says in Hala, v'ha'aretz nasan li'v'nei Adam, that same aretz was given over, was passed to B'nai Yisrael, to mankind, to be able to go ahead and do and use it. Now, from the first pasuk, Lashem ha'aretz u'malala, it would seem that anything that we do consume is a begidah, is a swipe at the ownership, at the propertyship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the second pasuk, the one from Halal, Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, will kind of indicate that whatever we want, we can take. Now these are two extreme positions. How do we balance these two, and how do they sit side by side? Whereupon the Mishnah Berurah tells us the Teretzu, and the Teretz is Lo Kasha. There is absolutely no conflict between these two psukim. For Kan Kodem Baracha, the first pasuk, Lashem Ha'aretz Umeloa, refers to the status of things in this world before any bracha occurs. The Kan Achar Bracha, the second pasuk, Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, for us to use, refers to after bracha. Now you've got to understand the juridical concept here. There's a law here. And the concept is called Matir. Lahatir means to make it permissible. Let me be very, very childish for a moment. The baby wants a cookie, right? So we'll hold the cookie out to the baby, and we'll say, say please, all right? Say please, all right? Doesn't want to say please. Say please, I'll give you the cookie. I apply, please. Peace, peace. Good. Here's the cookie. What we just did is to create the mechanics called a matir. The matir is the key that opens up the lock. We have certain matir, certain mitzvahs are matir. You want to eat a hamburger? Or you want a steak? Or you want a Cornish hen? Whatever you want to eat. There is a certain mitzvah that is a matir that allows you to go ahead and eat it. Do you have any idea what it is? It is not a mitzvah that you must do, so it can't be kashrus. It is not a mitzvah that you must adhere to. But if you want to have that steak, you have to practice the mitzvah as a matir to open it up. Shchita. That's it. Shchita. Shchita is not an obligatory mitzvah. Shchita is not a mitzvah like Shabbos or Kiddush. Okay?
It is conditioned eating.
That's it. It is the key that if you want to go into this thing called a steak, then and only then, v'zavachto kasher tzivisicho, you will have to go ahead and create a situation like I have shown you, Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is shkita. Okay? You come and you sit down at the table. Example two: you come in to sit down at the table after Adon Olam on Friday night or Yigdal on Friday night. You come home. Okay? And the ladies say to you, and the family says to you, we're starved. Absolutely starved. Come on quick, let's make Kiddush. Why are they starved? Because they didn't eat. They didn't drink anything. Why didn't they eat? Then why didn't they drink?
Terev Shabbos.
So what will we do? But you're hungry. You're hungry. Terev Shabbos. What's the big deal?
Is it at least a minute?
It's far more than a minute. Kiddush is the matir. Kiddush is the key that allows you to sit down, because there is a din of what? Of kibud Shabbos and oneg Shabbos. And part of that kibud and oneg Shabbos is that you sit down and you eat what? Three meals.
Right.
Three specifically designed meals. And if I want three meals, which is certainly enough, I'm going to prevent you from eating anything and everything else. And remember, the preventing you is L'Kavod Shabbos. And Kiddush is the matir, it's the key that allows you to start eating.
Right,
again.
But before Shabbos, what does Kiddush have to do with eating before Shabbos?
No, eating before Shabbos is truly Shalom Api Alacha. You can go ahead and eat Api Alacha before Shabbos.
Until
Shabbos. That's Api Halacha. This is the famous Machlokes at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, where the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, that's the 10th parak. When I say the beginning of Pesachim, I mean the beginning of the 10th parak, Arvei Pesachim, on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to sit down and eat a meal, even if you've been starving yesterday and today. Why? Because we have a separate mitzvah concerning Achilas Matzah, that is only once a year, so you must protect that. So there's a whole machlokas there between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda that goes on endlessly, and we work out very simply that why should we be prevented from eating on Erev Pesach? What about Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov also? And the bottom line is that the true halacha is that it is also to eat on Erev Pesach, so that you can eat matzah properly and sufficiently. But on Erev Yom Tov and on Erev Shabbos, you can go ahead and eat. Because there is no shiur of eating anything at your Shalosh Shudas, at any one of them. You can just smell it, the kazayas, and it's enough for the first meal, and the second meal, and the Suda Shlishis. That's all you need, you see. Not so when it comes to matzah. But Al Pi Minhag, there's no question about it, that one, no, I shouldn't say that, Al Pi Din, once Kodash Hayom, once the Zman is Kodesh, in other words, Shkia has occurred, you are not allowed to eat until there is a matir that opens up the door. And that matir is Kiddush. Same thing Motzei Shabbos with Abdullah. Okay? You want to eat Motzei Shabbos, then I need something that will go ahead and allow you into the weekday diet because it's still Shabbos. And that's Abdullah. Abdullah is a matir. You see. Now, brachos are a matir. You have no permission, l'ashem ha'aretz u'meloa. Absolutely no permission. Until you go through the process of the matir. And that is baruch ata Hashem. Now what is the process? The process is simple acknowledgement. There is no bracha without what? Shein u'malchus. Simply acknowledging the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that gives you the relationship. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu, that's the Shein, and Melech HaOlam, that is Malchus, and that gives you your relationship. You own it, there are no two ways about it, I am asking you, please allow me. Allow me. Okay?
That's for Hana'a.
Yeah.
What about, would sexual relations come into that category? Or would it be more under the Puru or Vu and the laws of Ona? Would be more the fulfilling of a mitzvah rather than...
Let me answer it this way. Technically speaking, you have to say, for Puru or Vu, you have to say a bracha also. Technically speaking. Why? Because when you go ahead and observe that mitzvah, it's no different than eating matzah. Kedusha sa'odam, whatever Kedusha means, sanctity, can occur whether you eat or whether you make certain sexual preferences. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's both. And Rambam and Sefer Kedusha, as you probably heard from me several times, to be a Kadosh, you have to do one of two things. You have to make certain discriminating choices about the way you eat and certain discriminating choices about your sexual behavior. That's Kedusha sa'odam. That's all. Nothing else. Not gavel, not strimal, not black hat, not green hat, nothing. Not beard, not pace, that's not kedusha. Not no, tzitzin, not tzitzis out.
But the way you talk to somebody might be.
Sure, whatever. Okay, you got other elements over there. Remember?
Well, you said two elements.
No, but by the definition, of kedusha is Yisrael.
Yeah.
Okay? To define Yisrael as opposed to any non-Yisrael as a human being, two things distinguish us. Sure, the way you talk is going to create a certain kedusha.
Right? But that's Kedusha Sa'odom. That's Tzelem Elokim that was given to every human being. And the way you and I talk is the way every human being should talk, not because I'm a Jew. You see?
All right.
But to distinguish us, you know, we're this is the bottom line, this is the barrier beyond which there is no Kedusha Sisra, there are those two things. Okay? Now, you do make a bracha when you get into the eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should make a bracha when you get into the act, sexual act of perusal. There are technicalities, however. There are technicalities that are bracha technicalities that don't allow you to say a bracha in perusal. One simple example. If you say a birchas hanehenin on a food, or if a food is a mitzvah, like matzah, you'll say a birchas ha-mitzvos, asher kishon ha-mitzvos, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that within an instant second of your having said a bracha, you will do whatever has to be done. You'll eat. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the essence, the completion of the mitzvah, is taking that piece of food and putting it down the hatch. Borei priyat ofen, omei, down the hatch. That's it. I know it's going to happen. Therefore, I can say a bracha. I don't know that the mitzvah of pru uruvu, every time one engages in sexual relations, is going to occur. So you have a problem with the technicality of mitzvah, of bracha levatala.
Right.
An unnecessary bracha, you see.
And you run off for 9 months.
You never know. You could know. You may know in 3 weeks, in 4 weeks, okay? But you don't know. And 3 weeks and 4 weeks is too much of a hefsek in zman to be able to say a bracha and then wait for the after effect. So it's a technicality in bracha that the maximum amount of zman that I have after a bracha is over la'asiyos, and is immediately I am able to go ahead and see the effects of what I just said in the matir, in the bracha. I don't have it in Pura Rivu. I can't have it, and therefore there's no bracha.
Now, Rabbi, just as in the shachar, we say them after the fact to make sure that, you know, people say them in the right order and everything. Why do we say this bracha of a pervuria after it's obvious that the wife is pregnant?
Because that's still not the kiyum hamitzvah of pru uravu. Pregnancies can be terminated.
After one child of each sex has been born.
You do say it every time a child is born. You say hatov v'hameti. Okay, there is such a bracha. You understand? The only thing is, I cannot say it in the form of birchas hamitzvahs. So I therefore say it in the form of Shevach Vahodah. Okay? Simple as that. Similarly, you have to eat to live, correct? And living is a mitzvah.
Yeah.
Do you say a bracha when you eat to live, or do you say a bracha of Shevach Vahodah, just Birchas Hanen, because you may get tomain poison from that garbage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll chalk it up. Again, these are technicalities, all technicalities in this matter. Every one of these questions flow from this gemara. So let's go back. Remember our point of trying to understand why these brachas are so displaced and misplaced. Okay? Explain the end of the second line of the Mishnah Berurah. Ratzalomar. By this we mean kodem bracha hi l'Hashem. Before bracha, anything and everything is Hashem's property, v'asurim l'cha kehekdesh shehu l'Hashem, and you have absolutely no way to consume it, to touch it, to use it, to benefit by it, kehekdesh, like something in the Beis Hamikdash, shehu l'Hashem, that belongs to Hashem. V'achara bracha, but after having said a bracha, hutar hakol libnei adam. Do you see the word hutar? That's the matir. Matir is the nominal form. Everything is mutar libnei adam because you have gone through this process of asking permission for use. V'im kein, and therefore, kevin shekodem habracha hi l'Hashem. Since before a bracha, everything is Lashem, it's Harei HaKol Kodesh. Everything in this world is Kodesh Lashem. And if you go ahead and use it, consume it, benefit by it, Yesh Bo Me'ila. You go ahead and you trespass. That's Me'ila, you trespass. Im Nehenem Mimenu, if you go ahead and benefit. No different than Kmo B'Truma. Like Truma that belongs to a Kohen, and if you're not a Kohen and worthy to eat Truma, alright, Shehi Kodesh. It is a kodesh that you're not allowed to touch. Because of this, lefichach tiknu chachamenu zichronam levracha bracha al kol davar v'davar mehanhagas ha'olam. Anything by which we have we consider the world to turn, sleeping and getting up and dressing and putting on a belt and so on. These are the normal and natural things that are expected in this world. Sheha Adam Nehenemi Menu, and ultimately we have Hana'a, we have benefit from it. Therefore, there is a bracha on every single stage. Now, if this is the case, now you understand why Chazal insisted, and this is such a fundamental attitude, or why Halacha insisted here that maybe we ought to change the Mihal. I'm Oryx that you are, I can't help that. I can't help that. One thing I can help is that I not make you a moel, that I don't make you moel with an ayin, that I don't make you a thief in God's world, and just tell you that you come into Beis HaKnesses and we'll say the brachos that you should go ahead and say, and you answer amen, and then understand that you have a right to function and you now have a right to live. It is so terribly fundamental that even if the bracha is postponed and separated from the action, I have an overriding concern that you say brachas to begin with. And later on we'll learn, you know, the mea brachas, excuse me, that you say 100 brachas a day for the takana of David HaMelech, that 100 times a day. And, you know, that's the proverbial 100 times. I'm talking to you 100 times, Rabbanu Shalom, a day, to convince not you, or not to ask you permission, but to convince myself that Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloa. And before I say a brocha, it's me'ila. It is simple treason. When I go ahead and use the king's property, royal property, without acknowledging that indeed I have permission. This is so encompassing a philosophical stance that even if it is removed from the action, which is a break in the logic of bracha of over lasiyaso, it definitely is. But I cannot allow the other principle of Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloa, that you are a moel. I cannot allow that to take place, even in the case of the lowliest of Amorites. He's got to come in and say Amen to the bracha. And let someone who knows how to order the bracha and put them into the three segments and the patterns that are necessary within those segments, let someone go ahead and say it. So the delay of the bracha from the action is only because of this overriding concept of Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloa Matir. It is the fundamental issue of all brachas.
But then is the Shulchan Aruch, where he's saying Achshav Mipnei She'en Mipnei Amei Ha'aretz Sot. Then is he saying that 500 years before the Shulchan Aruch was written, that people knew? Is he making a historical statement that 1,000 years ago from today most people knew
that order? People did it that way, and the concept of brachos may have suffered. It was clobbered. And they decided finished. And the times of the Rosh was pre-Shulchan Aruch. Times of the Rosh himself used to, there's clear evidence that the Rosh himself used to do it that way.
Which one? Each brother?
Each one separately. No, that's the...
Well, the Rambam, then you
okay. Without question.
Okay.
Ella, the Amei Ha'aretz suffered.
I mean, they didn't know the order of the brachas, even men.
And once and for all, we finally took a stand, and we say, Bazman Hazeh, this concept of bracha has got to be guaranteed. Now, I'm not going to fault you, I'm Oretz, because that you don't know these brachos.
Oh, so the Achshav is not a historical statement, it's rather saying, now we are going to take into account the Amei Ha'aretz who have been neglected all these years. That's what it's
saying. Yeah.
And but that's not original to the Shulchan Aruch. It probably started slightly before the Shulchan Aruch. He did give it a big impetus. No question about that. And already, 200 some odd years before the Shulchan Aruch, in the Torah, close to 300 years, the Torah writes it, 300 years, which is the 1200s, that already they were feeling this and they wanted the brachos simply arranged that everyone should say Amen.
Well, the Torah said
already. You can see it here. Take a look. Take a look right after the big bays of Simon Bays, you have a subscript gimel right before the word Achshav. Looking into the Be'er HaGolah, you see, it's the Tur and the Beis Yosef, which is separated by 250 years, both of them quoting B'Shem HaRosh, that already in the times of the Rosh. So you're talking about the 13th century. They felt clearly that this situation has got to be taken care of. It was scandalous. To say the least, it was scandalous that a Jew should not say these mea brachos a day and acknowledge this principle, Hashem Ha'aretz U'Malala. I mean, as scandalous as you know, the violating a Sefer Torah, violating the Mizbeach, violating Truma, things which meant Kodesh Kodeshim to us all the time.
So that, what about if we can learn the order ourselves in vigil?
Oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Should you say it that way? Should you change from what we're doing?
Go back to the original way of doing it. If you can master it.
I hear.
The problem in doing it, I see, is that you may forget along the way what you were doing or whether you said or didn't say. Then when you're going to finish, you'll say, well, what did I leave out? And you get all mixed up.
There are those who did do it. Now, between these two positions today, there is a third position. And that is that these brachos are said at home when you first get up. Yeah. Watch. You get up and you take care of washing of your hands, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You leave the bathroom and you're properly dressed. Netilas Yadayim, immediately. Asher Yotza, immediately. And Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi, immediately. Okay? Which means that when you come to shul, you don't say those brachas. Mm-hmm. You want to sit down and learn? It's 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning or whatever, you're going to have to say Birchas HaTorah. Which means that when you come to shul, you don't say those brachas. Okay? Then, depending on the time of day, we have the rest, that middle component over there. So that is a midpoint. I come to shul, brachas are already said. I don't remember when I've said, the last time I've said brachas in shul, except like on a Shavuos night. We're all up and all there, which creates a whole problem over there. What do we do with Amar Yosheni Me'enayos to Mil Me'afapokim? So there is such a feeling that it should be said a little closer to the actual action, and it's done. Now you understand why in certain yeshivas, and this was the minhag of Vilna without question, but not limited to Vilna. Certain yeshivas, they started in the Baruch Shamar. You know why? Because in yeshivas you didn't have Amei Haaretz. Simple as that. Everyone knew the halachas in yeshivas. If you learn Baba Kama, Baba Mitzia, and Baba Basra, if you learn Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, so you knew the Shulchan Aruch at least. Therefore, there was no necessity to say these brachos given this situation over here of Amei Haaretz. Let's start with Baruch Shema. And that's how Kabbonis fell, by the way, Sai, because it hadn't been said in the shul. We always started with Baruch Shamar. All right. Now, because all of this was considered preliminary to where Tefillah B'Tzibur started. What is Tefillah B'Tzibur? Shmon Esrei. Before Shmon Esrei, you have to have Smichas Geula Lishua LiTefillah. So that's Birchas Kriyat Shema. Birchas Kriyat Shema. Therefore, you need Shema. All right. Shema. So the Gemara says, well, we have, before we get up to Shema and Shemona Esrei, we ain't owned in Lispala, you don't get up. El mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Unless you have generated the simcha of about being ready to do a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, what is that? And that's Sukkot HaZimra, to be able to sing out, Oz Yoshir, and the rest. So I've accounted for, working backwards, for the component of Shmona Esrei, the bridge between Shmona Esrei and Shema, and before Shema, Baruch Shamar, in other words, Psukei Dezimra. Korbanos was something that was done prior, that, you know, it's time now to daven Shacharis. I should have a Beis HaMikdash here, I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so let me do Zechel HaMikdash and Korbanos. All right, let's, for the sake of just completion here, let's just do Gimel. Having spoken about Halacha Gimel, just completes our fundamental understanding of the issue of brachos, that Chayav Adam Levarech B'chol Yom Mea Brachos Lefachos. 100 times a day, I must acknowledge what we learned in the Mishnah Berurah over here in terms of Lashem Ha'aretz Umeloah. All right, now, you see how the brachas are plastered together from Dalet till the end. There's another reason for something. Tzarich Levarech in Dalet B'chol Yom. That among all of these brachas, this potpourri of brachas, you must have three brachos, Shiloh Asani Obed Kochovim, and Shiloh Asani Obed, and Shiloh Asani Isha, and so on down the line. And this plastering together of a whole segment called Birchas HaShachar, which has divergent elements in it, is one of the reasons why we decided, let's put them all together and let's say them all together so that Hamharatzis doesn't go ahead and take over. Now,
are we going to talk about the brachos
itself? I'd be happy. I mean, I have no objection if that's what you want, but it doesn't impact on Zman.
Fine.
No, you know.
It'll probably be a long discussion.
Such as?
Well,
give me what I'm... just let me know what I'm in for.
Phrasing.
Phraseology of the brachos. Which ones? These three?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, sure. There's no question about that, that is a... That's uppermost in everyone's mind. You must add to that what's at the end of Halacha Dalet on the next page, okay? The last four words right before Hey Vahanoshim Varchol She'asani Kirtzano. Now we have a rule that says as follows: that every bracha that was instituted by the Anshei Knesset Hagadola. That's Ezra Beis Dino. Okay, that's before the Gemara. That's before the Mishnah. I defy you to show me where this bracha, She'asani Kirtzano, exists. It doesn't exist in Mishnah. It did not exist in the times of Ezra. And it doesn't exist in Gemara.
Does it exist in the Sedarim
HaDonim? Yes. Very late. Very late.
Sedarim
HaAfro? We'll take out. We'll see. We'll see. So once you raise that your question,
well, he's quoting the Abudraham.
No, not yet. The one who quoted the Abudraham is the Ramo, okay? About Gerim.
Oh, that's the highest.
Yeah, about Gerim, yeah. And that is where he's, the Ramo is quoting it, because it's in Rashi script.
Oh, I see.
You see, all right.
But the Abudraham is like the 1400s, 1500s,
a little earlier. 1400s the latest. Should be a little earlier. Now, the question that we are going to have with this, given this introduction, the question that we're going to have to take up is the one element of Zman. Obviously, we started out with Kishayor Mishnato, when he gets up from sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's a point in time. And I say these brachos. Do these brachos last for a day? For 24 hours? For part of 24 hours? If I sleep during the day, is that broken? Or you wake up in the middle of the night? Which brachas do I say, which brachas don't I say? This is the Zman element of the bracha. Mm-hmm. And that's where we gotta go. It's probably not terribly difficult, but it surely has its Zman element. And to how do we arrive at the minhag, a of what we do, let's say, on Shavuos night, after having been up Shavuos night, what do you do?
Well, somebody always falls asleep.
Yeah, okay. How long is the falling asleep? And is it totally necessary? Because do I have to say a bracha that I did not go through? Here we started out, and the Shulchan Aruch was very meticulous to tell you the bracha in its original state is only experiential. If you experience, and when you experience this, you say this and this bracha. If you don't experience it, for instance, the first bracha, Ashana Sana Sechli Bina Lavkin Ben Yom Ben Laila, probably logically is that if you don't hear Kriyas HaGever, the rooster, make a noise over there, crowing, then you shouldn't have to say the bracha.
You tell me how many people can say hear roosters crowing.
Oh, okay. But logic still says that probably I shouldn't say that bracha. But we do say it.
What's the word sechvi?
Sechvi is the same as tarnagol. So, asher nasan la sechvi, asher natan la tarnagol, bina sechel, lahavchin bein yom ubein laila, to know that it's time already to set off the alarm clock.
That's a Hebrew word?
Yeah, sechvi, yeah. Okay, now, if I don't have to say, hamavir sheina me'enai, that sleep has been, you know, has passed from me, I never was in such a state of consciousness, or in a state that I was in a lack of consciousness, I didn't sleep. What do I say a bracha for? Just go hear it from someone else and answer amen and so on and so forth. These are the issues that have to be dealt with as far as brachas are concerned. And in Mirtz Hashem, I think we'll be able to do it when we get together next time.